Living Your Soul's Journey with Dr. Vicki airs every Sunday night on BBS Radio. Go to her website at www.livingyoursoulsjourney.com and fill out the Freedom to Be Me journal to get your free 20-minute session with Dr. Vicki. She offers various counseling sessions as well as the life-changing soul rejuvenation to guide you to live authentically on your soul's journey. If you lose it when you meet a guy and simply want to learn to be independent, free and happy in or out of a relationship, then listen each Sunday night to Living Your Soul's Journey with Dr. Vicki and join her on Living Your Soul's Journey on Facebook.
Welcome to Living Your Soul's Journey. I'm Dr. Vicki. I am so happy to be with each and every one of you this evening. I've had an incredible 2 weeks. I have been out to Seattle and have been training and learning and just absolutely being a part of a wonderful group of people who are truly wanting to be spiritual and progress on their road of spirituality and of ascension. And when I started today, it was such a beautiful day here in the North Georgia Mountains. I just asked my cosmic team, what is it that everyone wants to hear about? And I said, well, I know that everyone is asking to live their soul's journey. I mean, everybody, we can't help but live it. But sometimes we wonder, what is our soul's journey? How do we know that we're on our soul's journey? And what evidence do we have that we are actually doing and being and, having that pathway of what we're to do? Yesterday, I went to see the movies. I haven't been to the movies for almost a month, and I have a movie pass from a very long-time friend of my mother's. So we go to the movies a lot, but we had not been for about a month, and I went to see Robert Redford in the Woods. And I have to tell you, I was probably younger than most of the people there because it's, Robert Redford, we've all grown up, for those of us that are over 50, have grown up with Robert Redford in the days where he was probably in his 30s or so or 40s and, quite a leading man. Well, he still is. He's just, he just has progressed in different ways. He certainly lived his soul's journey, that's for sure. It was fascinating because I don't want to tell you all about the movie, but In the Woods, it was about him wanting to go on this journey for his life. And it was very powerful in that he found that I don't even want to say anymore, otherwise I'm going to give the movie away. But he lived that journey that he took in the woods, the Appalachian Trail, which, by the way, every picture that was in that film, I had been to every location. I've taken walks in Dahlonega. I had been up to where the waterfalls are. I had seen the Smoky Mountains. Everywhere, every scene that was in the movies, I had seen. And I was like, oh, I've been there. So it was really cool, especially when you're from Georgia. It was interesting because in my personal soul's journey, I have found that every struggle that I have had has been where the real lessons have come. And it took me a lot of energy work, a lot of training, a lot of school training, a lot of life training, and that I call that experiences as well, to even get to the point where I was even aware that I was living a soul's journey. I just sometimes felt like I was out there, being blown by the wind. It was like, okay, well, what am I going to do now? And I would go off and I might be in a relationship and that one would end and I would move on to something else. And I never had any kind of stability the way that people view stability. I look back on it and say, wow, I had an opportunity to live a lot of experiences, and those experiences that kept repeating, mainly with men, by the way, but now that I'm not in a relationship, I can see even clearer where those, what those reasons were that I attracted each person, why I lived through it, and it was definitely part of my soul's journey. Now, I will say this. Just because you experience something and it's difficult, it doesn't mean that it could not have possibly been easier, or maybe not even had to have experienced it if you had learned that lesson. When we're learning our soul's journey and living it, and really living it, we can enjoy it if there isn't fear, anxiety, frustration, worry. That is the kind of work that I work on with helping people to do their living on their soul's journey. And when I say do their living on their soul's journey, I mean really live it. And I don't mean in a negative way, I mean in a positive way, so that possibly that karmic connection that you have with, say, relationship 3 might not have to go in the direction that it might go, and negatively now I'm talking about, if you had learned the lesson that you should learn, or what you came here to learn, I shouldn't say should learn, but that you could have learned from a relationship 2. So if relationship 3 comes along and they're there to teach, they've made that agreement to teach or to guide or whatever their soul's purpose was in meeting you, their contract, they can go on to the next person. And you can actually avoid that situation, or at least just cross them, because you've already met that commitment. So, you know, there are people that say every single thing we do is planned. But if that were completely true, in my viewpoint, what would be the point of even attempting to change or have affirmations or have desires or have try to improve ourselves? If everything was so preordained that we had no choice, then, you know, that doesn't completely make sense to me, although a lot of people believe that. I do believe that we make contracts with people. But if you and I have a contract to meet, and my job is to teach you or help you to learn about self-love, and in the meantime, that's our contract, in the meantime, you meet, you know, another person, and you actually learn that lesson that I was going to teach, but you had the opportunity to learn it in a little easier way, maybe, than if I had met you or somebody else had met you. And so then when we meet, it's just pleasant. It's not, you already love yourself. So there is a deeper connection there. And so I hope that what I'm saying is making sense, because when we meet people, there is a reason we meet them. There is some connection that we have had from somewhere, whether I believe in past lives, so it's very difficult for me to talk without talking about past lives, because I've experienced them, I know them to be true for me. And so, and my daughter actually has experienced them. I mean, she will come and say, you know, I just experienced something that happened in a former life, and I even recognize that soul. And so, when we have these experiences on our soul's journey, we need to be aware. We need to have that little alertness, that little intuition, that little voice, however it communicates to you, to say, you know what? That was a moment of challenge. Wow, what lesson. And this is what my gift to you this hour is. When you have that challenge on your soul's journey, the most important lesson that you can get out of this is, what is my gift out of this? I mean, if your dog was run over and some horrible things happened to you, somewhere along the way, if you can find that gift, it could be as simple as, after the grief is gone and you can actually feel with it, is, wow, I left the back door open. I was negligent, you know, or maybe it was is time to go. Now, I will share a story with you. When years ago, I had been planning on moving from Phoenix, Arizona, to another location more in the south. And I had the most adorable little dog, and I loved her with all my heart. And she never left my side. She always stayed by me. It didn't matter if The doors were open. It didn't matter. She was always by my side. And so I was on the phone and I was talking to someone and I said, you know, I really don't know what to do with Fluffy. I really don't know. I'm going to be gone for about a month and it's going to be really hard. Nobody can take care of her. I'm going to have to really look at this situation to see what I can do with Fluffy. Now, in today's world, I wouldn't leave anybody that I love for a month. And I will tell you that right up front. But back then, I was able to. You know, I was on a different ascension. I was different plane of understanding. And I was just in a different space back then. But at that moment in time, I had a lot more ego and I had a lot of different ways of doing things. And so when I was talking on the phone, all of a sudden I heard, well, without going into detail, my dog was run over. And, you know, the little dog knew. And so the little dog was actually feeling like, I'll get this handled. I know that may seem harsh, but sometimes our dogs do the most beautiful things for us. Well, it wasn't a beautiful thing for me. It did solve the problem of what I was going to do with Fluffy, but I could have found another better solution. But I did leave the door open. And, you know, typically that was not an issue. But on this particular day, our dogs are very empathic and they do talk to us and they do, you know, so she, in her world, she thought she was doing me a favor and it was a terrible situation. And I've always remembered that. So be careful with your words too. Always try to find solutions without getting other people involved in them, especially if it's a negative situation. But in living your soul's journey, you know, how can I help you to know that you're living your soul's journey? Well, number one, if you are content finding something that you enjoy, and you seem to want to wake up in the morning with a purpose, it sounds like you're on your soul's journey, and you're probably doing pretty much what you're supposed to. Now, that doesn't mean we don't all need energy work. It doesn't mean that we can't grow and you know, progress in our life. But as far as just on our soul's journey, should I be in California or should I be in Missouri, you know, doing this or doing that? Well, if you have number two, that first step is, you know, that's a sign that you probably are doing something right on your soul's journey. So there's not anything wrong you can do either. But now if you wake up in the morning and you feel unsettled and you say, you know what, something's wrong with my life, that's spirit's way of saying, you know, there's something that you need to be looking at here. If you can't see it personally, if you can't touch it with your visual, your senses, your understanding, that might be a good time to call someone to get some help. Now, I'm not talking about just call a neighbor, but call someone who has some insight, who's not going to just tell you what you want to hear, but can possibly help you. It might be a good time to get into a spiritual class, and, you know, but be aware of where you're going. Make sure you know of their attunements, know where they are spiritually, because people, regardless of what work they do, if they're not highly ascended, they can get information that might not be as accurate. So always be discerning with who you work with, and always know that if God is speaking with you, spirit, the universe, always remember that it will always be positive. It will never be harm this person so that you can move on with your life, or do something bad here so that you can move on with your life. And these folks that say, well, God spoke to me and told me to do something atrocious, that's not God. That's an entity that's possessed themselves in that person that is saying they're God. And a lot of entities can do that if they're not of the high spiritual level or attunement. So be aware that when you get messages of guidance to help you on your soul's journey, they will be positive. They will be statements. They will be advice. They will be feelings, if you may, or however you, some people see, Some people feel, some people perceive, or they hear, or they smell. There's some sign that they get that, wow, this feels right. But it will always, always be positive. Now, I want to share something with you that because it's dear to my heart, and I've always segmented my life. As an attorney, I was very left-brained and always was in court doing legal matters. Then I would be the spiritual healer, ordained minister, and do readings, healings, past lives work with people. Whatever their needs were, I would help them with their soul's journey in that way. Now, I was also helping people with their soul's journey as a lawyer, and I still do both. But what has occurred now is a combining of both parts of me. And we all have more than two parts of ourselves, but the spiritual part of the laws and the physical part of the laws, and I come now together as just me, just Dr. Vicky. You know, the only reason why I call myself Dr. Vicky is because the person that I had on, Richard King, who is a numerologist, and by the way, he will be back on October 11th, so get your questions ready for him. But October 11th, Richard Andrew King will be back on. But I've been working with him for 4 or 5 years, and he does a reading for me every year on my numerology. And he told me that that particular name, Dr. Vicky, resonated with my soul. So I have kept it. I don't go around calling myself Dr. Vicky, but for the show's purpose, I do. And when I go to my readings and do my things, I am guiding people. But at the same time, when I go into an appointment as a lawyer, I also go in there as myself. I don't go in there as this lawyer that has to act a certain way or the spiritual advisor that has to act a certain way. I'm just authentically me. I mean, they know who I am. They know I have this skill. I have that skill. I have that training, and I have this training. I don't announce it. It just happens to be on my card because that's who I am. I mean, that's not who I am, but that's what I've chosen to be in this life as a person, as a, you know, career. Goal is to be a lawyer and to be a spiritual ordained minister. So, and I'm also a radio host and a mom and all that. So I just want to help you to know that when you wake up in the morning and you're happy, you're probably doing the right thing at the right time. Just remember, no matter who we meet during the day, we will always be meeting people somewhere on their soul's journey. They may have experienced everything we've already experienced and they can see right through us. You know, people like that, like, wow, why is she doing that? Well, why is he doing that? Because they've already experienced it. They've already learned that lesson. Or maybe they didn't even need to learn that lesson. Maybe they already knew that. So they can spot things. That's why people can spot things in us that we can't always see because they've already experienced it, or we're just an open book and they can see it. So remember, though, that when you wake up in the morning and you're pretty happy about your life, and that doesn't mean everything's perfect. That doesn't mean that you may have a little challenge here or there. But if overall you're pretty peaceful in your life, then you're probably on the right soul's journey for what you're supposed to be. Now let's go to step three. Let's say you're not real happy. You wake up and you're thinking, wow, you know, I don't know that I really want to go on this job again today. I mean, I got to be there from 9 to 6. I'm miserable. I don't know what I'm doing. So at that point in time, this is what I want you to try. And this is step three. This is if you're not on your soul's journey, or that you feel like you are on it, but something's not quite right about it. Now, I want to give tribute to a guy named Dr. Noah St. John, and I am going to attempt to get him on the show. I haven't even asked him yet because I've just been very, very busy and out of town, but it's some incredibly simple questions and amazingly powerful results. It's a little book. Actually, it's not a book for me. I got the CDs. A little great little book of affirmations. Now, I said affirmations, not affirmations. So based on Dr. Noah St. John, if you wake up in the morning, and you can do this even if you're on your soul's journey and very happy, obviously you want to even use it then even more, or not more, but the same. When you wake up in the morning, instead of saying, oh, why do I have to go to work? Why is my life so miserable? Say, why is everything going so well for me today? Why is it that I know exactly what I want to do in my life? Now, test that out on yourself this week and see which one actually makes you feel better. Saying why? Is everything not going right? Now, your subconscious, let's go back here. You have a conscious mind, that's your ego. You have your subconscious, which is those thoughts that are working all the time. It's also the parts of our body that work automatically. We breathe, you know, our heart works, that subconscious part of us. But it's also those old records and patterns, those old thoughts, everything that's sub below our consciousness is in our subconscious. Then we have our superconscious, which is our spiritual connection. Now, I always draw these out thanks to my dearest friend, Paul Massey, University of Southern Mississippi, used to teach there. He is a very, very dear friend of mine. We've met again this life, and we'll meet again next life. And he had taught me the pyramid. He uses a pyramid. And when you connect all of these up together, you connect your ego, your superconscious, and your subconscious, and of course your conscious, the ego, you connect these all up, then you can be aware of everything that you're saying and start to shift your life. So if you're not feeling like you're living your soul's journey the way that you really want to, what's happening is those old records and patterns, those old thoughts, those old ways of doing things are embedded. They're unknown. You're not even aware that you're doing them, thinking them, saying them, feeling them. So when you wake up in the morning and it's another humdrum day, all you're doing is just putting another etch of line in there to reinforce that. So what you have to do is take a conscious effort to say, wow, why is it today is going to be a better day? Now, do you hear what's going on here? When I heard Dr. Noah St. John talk about this, it was like, oh my goodness, it does make you feel better, because what you're doing, your subconscious is answering. I've always known this, but he did a beautiful way. He was able to put this in beautiful terms. When you ask, why is my life so miserable? Your subconscious is saying, oh, well, it's miserable because blah, 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 blah. We'll answer that one for you. Now, if you say, well, why is my life so beautiful? Why is this day of work so good? Why is this day so peaceful? Why is everybody getting along at work? Why is it everybody so nice to me? Why is it I feel so good? Well, guess what? Your subconscious is going to say, oh, well, it's because it's a good day. Or, you know, it's just automatically answers in a positive way because you're asking a positive question. Now, there's more to it than what I'm just saying. But overall, you ask a positive question, more than likely you're going to get from your subconscious, you get a very positive feeling. So instead of just saying, now think about this one for a minute. I am going to have a good day. Well, the first thing that goes in your mind is, oh yeah, I believe that, like I believe that the spaceship's going to land on my deck tonight. It's like, yeah, I say that every morning and it never works. These affirmations just don't work. Well, the reason why they don't work is because you really deep down don't believe them. The subconscious has already got its own pattern saying it's going to be a bad day because that's what it hears you, it feels you saying and feeling all day long. So what now you have to do is shift that pattern. Now, this is a very, very touch of the surface way of doing it. I mean, when you work with someone like myself, we go very deep into a lot of the records and patterns, a lot of the energy work. There's a lot more that goes into shifting. But this simple little advice can make a difference. If you just, even while you're listening to the radio show, ask, why is it that I can learn so easily? Why is it that tomorrow is going to be the best day of my life? Now, why, the way I use it with some of the appointments that I do, I travel around the North Georgia mountains, so I do use my car a lot, and I meet a lot of people, and I see a lot of places and some beautiful, beautiful, beautiful areas, but the people are what I love. That's why I love my position so much, doing appointments, banks and real estate offices and just a lot of different places that I go. Now, think about this. When I start the day, I could drive 200-300 miles, but instead, I've asked my cosmic teachers, my group of spiritual guides, to have synergy in my area. So I want all of my appointments all in the same area. And it was interesting because I had a broken refrigerator, and the man that came by Friday said, well, I only come to this area once a week. And I said, yeah, man's got some synergy going on. He doesn't drive himself all over. He may drive 100 or 150 miles in a day, but it's all in the same area. And so I had told, because I started driving a lot a while back, and it was just exhausting. It was hurting my back, and things were not the way that I wanted. So I started asking, why is it that all my appointments are in the same area every day? Why is it that I don't drive very much anymore? Why is it that I can still be abundant and keep everything easy? Why is it that I have the perfect job, and why is it that I have the perfect home? Why is it that my daughter is living her soul's journey with ease and peace and happiness? Now, when you start thinking that way and start speaking that way, you will be amazed at how easy your life and how much more enjoyable. I got on the plane going to Seattle about a week ago. And the first thing I did, well, there were a lot of things I did. I put my protections on. You know, we've talked about that before. There's a lot of energy work I do. But one of the aspects of that was I said, wow, why is this going to be the best trip I've ever had? And I'm going to tell you, it was fun. I got on the plane and I had my little seat that I sat in. I think it was, 26D, I believe it was, because I love the number 8, and 2 and 6 add up to 8. So I got 26D. As soon as I sat down, there was this precious little girl sitting next to me, two little girls. And the flight attendant, it was Alaska Airlines, by the way, a fabulous airline. And I, this lady came up and she said, you know, are you traveling by yourself? And I said, yeah. And she said, well, would you mind moving? And I said, well, of course not. Of course I wouldn't mind. What's going on? And she said, well, the mom really wants to sit with her kids. And I'm like, well, yeah, of course. So I sat down in her seat, and she moved to the seat that I was initially in. Well, the rest of the trip, they gave me everything. I got food. I got a sip of wine. I got free movies. I got the whole trip was free. I didn't have to pay for a thing. And I said, well, y'all are almighty nice. And they said, yes, but we appreciate you moving. That made it a lot easier. So I why was my trip so fabulous? And of course, the whole trip was fabulous. I mean, I had more fun. And I have to tell y'all, for those that are out on the West Coast, I have heard of seafood. I've lived in California before. But seaweed is not a food that we typically find at the grocery store here in North Georgia. I mean, this is grits and eggs and bacon and cheese and, you know, that kind of food. And seaweed is just not big. I'm sure if I could find it, I could probably find it. But it's not been on the top of my list of my favorite foods. But everybody that was at my convention was eating this seaweed. It was spicy seaweed and all these kinds of seaweed. So I thought I would buy me some seaweed. So I ate this seaweed and I was like, well, you know, why is it that I enjoy this so much? And I actually did. I enjoyed it. And I bought 6 of them. I bought the other 5 home. I thought maybe I'd share them with my daughter. And she said, wow, that's probably the worst tasting thing I've ever tasted in my whole entire 16 years. I thought that was kind of humorous. You know, you have to develop a taste for that. But my point being is the whole trip was my decision was, why am I enjoying this trip so much? Why am I going to have new experiences? And why is it that I'm going to meet wonderfully new people, you know, that I can enjoy? So I want you to work on that this week. And just see how it feels living your soul's journey to ask why everything's so great. Why is it, you know, the producer of BBS could say, why is everything so easy with the computers? Why is it everything is just flowing so beautifully? And if you were right in the middle of that panic moment, that angry moment, that meltdown moment, take a step back. If you have a partner, a child, a friend that can remind you, it helps a lot. Because a lot of times I'll get into, oh my gosh, why are the docs late again tonight? You know, the docs are documents that I'm working for it with as an attorney. And my daughter will immediately say, well, why is it so easy for you to get your documents, Mom? And it's like, oh, it's almost like it just melts me. It just like settles me all in. So I want you to just test it out. Test saying, why is everything so bad in my life? Why can't I find my soul's journey? Why is everything so difficult? Instead, shift it to, oh, why is everything so easy on my soul's journey? Why is it that I get the insights that I need to know? Why is it that the computer work that I need to do is so simple? Why is everything so smooth in my life? So the next time you wake up, step three, and you say to yourself, oh, another day at work, say to yourself, why is it that I am going to know, or why is it that I know the right job for me? And just start to see. You don't just do this one time, y'all. This has to be a shift of pattern, a shift of your records and patterns of speech. But it takes 21 days, they say, to really have a change. And then 17 seconds. If you're going to say something, say it for 17 seconds straight. So when I go out into the woods like I did today, in the woods now, as in the movie In the Woods, I don't walk the Appalachian Trail. But you know what? It may be one of my bucket lists to do. I'll get back to that when you wake up in the morning. But my friend, my very dearest friend, is going over to do the pilgrimage. I've had two friends now to do the pilgrimage. Only reason why I'm not going to go is because, one, I don't want to travel overseas right now. That's just a choice. And two is I can't take my dogs. Very different than I was when I was in my 30s, taking trips and leaving my puppy. But can't do that anymore. They're too connected to me. So I'm going to probably take the Appalachian Trail because I could start the walk from my backyard pretty much. And my backyard is probably part of the Appalachian Trail. So I can just start walking and just walk and go through and just have that experience. But I will take a couple of friends with me. That's for sure. I will not go alone and I will have my pets with me. But what I wanted to share is when you wake up in the morning, just take a breath and, you know, the alarm goes off and you get startled and you're like, oh, here I go again. Well, put the alarm closer to the bed and put it on a buzz or however you can shift the way you're running your life right now. Make a couple little shifts instead of, you know, turning the alarm off and getting up and being in a bad mood. Shift it and just sit there in your bed for 5 minutes if you can, even a minute. And that's 17 seconds it takes to make something hang out in the universe as positive or to take hold of is just to keep saying, why is this day so beautiful? Why is this the day that I learn my soul's purpose? Why is it that I know? And when you start to do these affirmations, now a fun one that's for people wanting to lose weight is, why am I so thin? Why is it that I really enjoy eating good foods? Now, you're not going to magically turn skinny. And I got this from Dr. Noah St. John, and I think we all know this. You can't just sit there on the couch watching General Hospital or some soap opera or The Talk or some wonderful other show and say, why is it that my life is so abundant? I mean, you know, somewhere along the way, we have to do our part. It's like very much like selling a house. You can ask spirit, you can ask the divine ones to help you sell. You can get a whole team of masters and angels, a house selling team to help sell your house. But you still have to keep it clean. You still have to make it pretty on the outside, and you still have to do repairs on it so that people walking in the house, you know, will want your home if it's the right home for them on their soul's journey. So just remember that you have to do your part. It isn't just like a magic tool, but it is magical, because if you're doing your part and eating well and doing the things you're supposed to do, and if you keep saying to yourself, why is it that this food tastes so good? Why is it that I can enjoy salads? Why is it that I can eat a lot less than I used to? You can start to shift the pattern of your thoughts by the things that you say. And I really want you to trust that. And the only way you're going to be able to trust that is to do it for yourself. One of the things that Dr. John had said, St. John had said, is when you learn this and start applying it for yourself, teach it to somebody else. And that's what I'm doing tonight, because I really want you to win. It's part of my soul's journey to help you do better. And I want to do better for myself. So therefore, I want other people to do better for themselves, whatever that means for you. I don't know what that means for you. You know, of all the gifts that I gave my daughter through her years up till age 16, 16 to me is a pretty big age. It's, you know, it's start to learn to drive and start kind of getting interested in boys, although I think in today's world they start getting interested in them earlier. But it, hopefully 16 is not a bad age to maybe have a date now and then. But what all the gifts that I gave my daughter, the one thing that she loved the most, she's a little Leo, is the pool table. And it was interesting because we've been talking about a pool table for years and years and years, and she loves playing pool. And I kept saying, well, we'll get the pool table after we sell the house. Well, you know, 10 years later, we haven't gotten our pool table. 10 years of living fun, enjoying a pool table. We have this humongous house. We could have easily had room for it. But, oh, no, we had to wait. You know, and waiting just, waiting is not a good thing. When you go into that wait mode, find something to shift yourself out of that wait mode. Because once you get into that wait mode, you are like, no, this isn't good for your health. Good for your mental health, your emotional health, and your physical health, because it just puts you in a state that is not real healthy. So now we have this pool table. I went down there today. Sunday's my day of just enjoying life. I don't have to go anywhere. I don't have to drive anywhere. And I went down and played a game of pool. I got the black ball in right away. So I said, okay, you know, it's just me, myself, and I. I'll just keep on playing. And then I got the black ball in again. And I said, okay, that's it. I'll wait and play some more later. But, you know, having something fun on your soul's journey is very, very important. Now, I am a type A kind of personality, and I tend to just go, 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 go. And I was finding that I was getting very unhappy on my soul's journey. I was getting worked out. I was getting exhausted. And I was getting so that I didn't even enjoy my work anymore. I went away for 5-6 days last week, and I came back with a renewed interest in my career, in my love of life, and in my spirituality and how I apply it. Because, you know, y'all, we don't just apply spirituality when we're at home. We have to learn to apply it in that workplace that we live in that family that may be chaotic. We've got to, you know, if we really want to grow in our ascension and grow in our attunement so that we get even more spiritual and can rise up in our lives that people, so many people talk about, we've got to be able to incorporate that spirituality, whatever that is for us, into every second, into every breath. And it's very much reminds me of, as an attorney, I can speak of other attorneys. I guess they say that you can speak about your child, but you don't let anybody else talk about them. But as attorneys, there's this tendency to go into court and be this mean, tough, rude person that has to win, has to be ugly to everybody. Because if you're not ugly to everybody, then people will think you're too soft and they'll walk all over you and you'll lose your case. So, you know, I see and have seen for years attorneys that just turn like two different people. Oh, they'll go to their church on Sunday and they'll be this religious person and they'll talk big. And, you know, they'll say they believe this way and they believe that way. But boy, when they get into court or when they're talking to other people, their ego takes over and their connection to spirit is gone. I mean, can you imagine, y'all, if we had a court system where we actually had spirituality in it? Can you imagine where it wasn't just about who had the most money or who beat the other person down or whoever tried to destroy the other person's just so that they could win? I mean, how can you? And that's why I don't do divorces anymore, is because to bring my spirituality into court, I probably could do that, but that was not the journey that I was supposed to be taking. But I mean, I'm on the journey that I'm supposed to be on. But when I was doing that, that's why I wrote the book, Heart's Justice, Compassion in the Game of Law, because I saw these people that were so supposedly kind and religious and believed in God and, you know, said Christ was their you know, spiritual mentor. But yet they never followed anything that, you know, was said in court. Court was like it was like this space away from the world. It's like you go in there and it's like away from the world. And so, you know, I don't go to court now, but I do ask the divine ones for help so that we can get some consciousness into the courtroom, consciousness into our workplace. We can't just all be about making money, killing other people, doing this, doing that, just so that we can win. There has to be a balance somewhere along the way. And I think that's what our spiritual journeys, a lot of people that are on the spiritual path are working on, so that life can become more balanced, so that when if you're an engineer at BBS Radio, you can have that spirituality with the person next to you. You can still have spirituality with the people that you're working with. You can still, and you know, a lot of times, y'all, I'm on a energy program myself, where I'm working on a lot of things that go way, 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 way back. That I want to clear my whole records and patterns and space and clear away from my life, so that if I do come back again, I don't have to go through that situation. I may have to go through something else, but I don't want to ever have to go through that situation again. And it's very important to find a spiritual mentor for yourself, someone, and use discernment in that. Because you want to get someone who is spiritually growing. There are, if you're with somebody who does energy work, and this is just my viewpoint on it, because I've done Reiki, I'm a Reiki master, I've got a PhD in energy work. I never quit learning. I learned new and different ways that we got information from the higher energies this past week. I learned different ways of doing things, more advanced ways. And if I hang on to what I used to know and don't try to grow and don't attempt to learn something different, then I'm not advancing. I'm just staying where I was. And you can either, as you all know, everything changes in our world. We either get better or we don't get better. And if we're doing energy work, make sure whoever you work with, because this is your whole being. When you're doing energy work, make sure the person is willing to learn and grow and is working on themselves as much as they're helping others. Because so many times energy work can drain you and deplete you. And before you know it, you are not at the best that you can be. And I've been there. That's why I know. You always have to completely take care of yourself first. Just like on the airplane, y'all. Take the mask down to yourself. Then you can help others. And it's a very important, you know, living your soul's journey. It's very important for you to breathe your own breath. Breathe your own breath and live your own journey. Don't try to be somebody else. Don't wear hair like somebody else just because you think it'll make you look like them. Oh, I want to grow up and be like her. You know, be you. You are authentically the most beautiful person on this planet because you are you. Find that gift about you. As a mother of a 16-year-old, it's very interesting to see the difference in how she's being raised in a private online school, not in the drama of the public school, compared to some of the other children that she knows. And she knows a lot of friends. She doesn't have them hanging around all the time because she's not in a typical school. But a very dear friend of hers, who's like a sister to her, and they've known each other for a couple of years, called her the other day and was attempting suicide. And so, you know, I thought to myself, thank goodness my daughter is stable. Thank goodness she knows enough energy work and enough things to do to assist this person, not to help her, because nobody can do that. But, you know, a trained professional, I understand that. Even if somebody called me with that, I would know energy-wise what to do, but I would still send them to a trained professional. There are things energy-wise that happen with people that are about to commit suicide, and you can help them with that without them even knowing it. But at the same time, they still have their journey to live. But after about a week, and you can sponsor, you know, people to help them. You can sponsor them, but if after about a week, she's doing much, much better. And it's been a very big learning lesson for my daughter to see the drama that kids get into. She's very much younger than my daughter, and yet she's dating and all that. And it's very chaotic. I mean, that's what upset her, is because the boy, I think she's like 13 years old and has a date. The boy didn't like her anymore, so it made her suicidal. And I'm thinking to myself, age 13, you know, I was watching movies, playing with dolls. I was just maybe a slow learner, but things were different back when I was growing up. We just got into, we had garden, we had swimming, we had a very active life, and boys were just not part of it. It was not something that we did that young of age. And then I went into school and still didn't get into it till my late high school. So, you know, it's just a little different. I mean, things are different today, but that doesn't mean that we have to go with the flow, y'all. Doesn't mean that we have to do everything everybody else is doing. Living your soul's journey can sometimes be a little lonely if you really are working on the high road. You know, if you're really living that spiritual, the road less traveled, sometimes it can be a little bit lonely, but it really isn't lonely if you really got a strong connection with spirit. There's no loneliness about it. I live out in the middle of nowhere, and I never get lonely. I just never get lonely. I mean, I have a team of angels and masters around me, and you do too. You do too. And you just have to connect with them and be aware of them. You'll never be lonely again. And I have to tell you that I went to a movie yesterday, and you know, the In the Woods movie, and the first thought I thought of was fear. I was like, wow, God, I hope I'm safe in here. I was like thinking of ways to get out. How could I get out of this movie theater if some man, and there was this man sitting to the right of me, and he was all by himself, and I was like, oh, he doesn't even have popcorn. Oh, that scares me. So I had to go do energy work on myself to release all that fear, because that fear and upset of all these things that have happened, you know, affected me, and I was willing to jump down. I even had two escape routes for myself in case something happened. And I asked my daughter, I said, how did you, if she went to the movies too, she just saw a different movie. I didn't want to see the movie she saw. And she said, oh, Mom, she said, I just, you know, said it was okay and everything was going to be fine. And I thought to myself, wow, well, you know, Dr. Vicky, you need to have a little bit more faith in what you do and who you are and your team of angels too. So, you know, although there is discernment, you do have to have some discernment in there. But I just really wanted to share that, because living your soul's journey is the only way you really can live, because you have a soul's journey. You can make it easier. You can make it more abundant. And if you wake up tomorrow, regardless of how you wake up, whether you're happy or not so happy, what I want you to do Monday morning is say, why is this day going so well? Why is my soul's journey so abundant? Why am I so healthy? Whatever your situation is, you can put hundreds and hundreds of different affirmations down for yourself. I don't necessarily write them all down. I just have them now so much a part of my life that if I trip up and say, you know, why is that hard? I'm like, oh, wow, why is that so easy? And if I don't correct myself, my daughter does. So, you know, always whoever you're with, it kind of helped them to see what you're doing so that they can assist you as well. And it makes such a difference in your life. It's training, retraining. And remember to say it 17 seconds. Hold that thought. Why is it that things are so beautiful? And you could say that for 17 seconds. Why is it? And I do that out in the woods a lot. I just go out there and I say, why is my life so beautiful? Why is my life so abundant? Why is everyone in our world so safe? Why is life so beautiful? And we can't always change everybody. We can't always change things around us, but we can change ourselves. And if I've left you with nothing but that tonight, I hope that has assisted you in some simple, quiet way that you can make a difference. If you're at home with five cats and 20 dogs and don't see people, you can still make a change in people's lives. You've made a change in their lives. But when we shift our love for ourselves, we are living our soul's journey, because that is a part of our soul's journey, is to walk in our own truth and our own authentic beingness. When you walk in your own authentic beingness, you are living your soul's journey, because you can't live somebody else's soul's journey, y'all. That's what gets all of us in trouble. When we try to live somebody else's journey, when we try to be somebody else, when we get married and we try to be something for that person, or if we are in a relationship and we are attempting to be something for them. Oh, you know, it's not about compromise. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about where you lose your identity, where you really give up who you are to satisfy somebody else for fear of being yourself. That's the type of soul's journey that I'm talking about, being authentic. Living authentic is probably one of the most beautiful journeys that I've ever lived. It's learning to be authentic, learning to wear what you want to wear, be what you want to be, as long as you're not hurting somebody else. You know, it's not okay to run out there and, you know, hurt other people living your soul's journey just so that you can get what you want. That's not what I'm talking about. But if you are authentically yourself, you are truly on this planet to assist and help others, then you will help yourself. You know, you don't start from the outside. You start from the inside. You can only give what you have. So if you have love for yourself, then you can have love for other people. Authentic love. Now, anybody can run around and say, I love you. Anybody can run out there and do things for other people. Anybody can be out there doing stuff. But it's when you're authentically doing it from your heart, that's when it really feels good, and that's when it resonates, and that's when you start to get authentic, and that's when the world starts to shift, where somebody's, you know, there's a hurricane, and my friend Chippa, he does things from the heart. If there's a hurricane and people get displaced, he'll have, you know, horses and dogs, and he'll try to find homes for people. He's right there at the storefront, if you may, at the very front of everything happening, because he wants to do it out of his heart. He doesn't do it because some religious group tells him he has to do it. He doesn't do it because it makes him look good to society. He does it because he wants to. And those are the kind of people that are so trustworthy, because people are doing it from their authentic self, from their heart space. And when you get that authenticity, wow. I mean, it's beautiful. And there are so many people out in our world today that really do want to help, and connect with those people. But make sure you connect with those people that connect with themselves. Because when they're connecting with themselves, they're connecting with spirit. Connecting with self only means you're connecting with your spiritual self. I want to thank you this evening for joining the Living Your Soul's Journey show. I'm going to be here every Sunday at 4 o'clock Pacific, 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Next week, possibly I'm going to have a guest, but if you'll look on BBS Radio, I will announce who that guest is going to be and what the discussions will be about. We very well may be doing readings next week, helping you to know what direction to go on your soul's journey, and if that may help you, that is probably the direction we're going to go on. So until then, have a blessed week, and remember to say, why is your life so beautiful? Until then, good night.